my producer, John Tennyson, with Sleeping Dog Productions, told me that he would like for us moderators to tell you every day who we are and why we're here. Well, I'm here because of Ed and my sister-in-law, Connie, who started this program 13 years ago. Connie came to me 13 years ago, and she said, I've got an idea for this program. I'm going to call it Warbirds in Review, and I want you to be the moderator. I said, no, Connie. I said, I'm not comfortable in front of a lot of people with a microphone in my hand. But she was persistent. And as it turns out, it's been a wonderful experience because of her foresight and Ed's foresight. I have got to meet, some of the greatest aviators in history. And one of them is sitting next to me right here. And we're going to talk with him in a few minutes. My background is I was Air Force guy. I went in the Air Force, Air National Guard, Tennessee, in 1965 as an aircraft mechanic. And then I went to pilot training in 67, graduated 68, and came back and flew in my guard unit for another 9 years. I went to work for Southern Airways, 1969, flew for 34 years with Southern, Republican, Northwest. Retired on 747-400 in 2003. So that's me. Hey, I'm just a pilot like you are. I'm not a journalist. I'm just one of us. And we all come to Oshkosh every year. Why? Because it's fellowship. That's why. Coming up here and seeing all your buddies, and you know, that's why we come. It's not just about airplanes. Because I had a friend from Memphis up here this week, and he's an architect. And he's been after me for 3 months to tell him what Oshkosh is. I said, I can't tell you, Bemis. Bemis Adkins, great Irish name. I said, I can't tell you, Bemis. You're just going to have to see it. Is that not true? Huh? Right. Okay, so why do we have the freedom to do that? Huh? Why do we have the freedom to fly our Bonanza up here or our RV and camp out for a week? Who gave us that freedom? No politician. No, sir. You got it right, sir. Veterans are the reason we have that freedom. Veterans. Nobody else. And now I'd like all the veterans in the audience from any war, from any country. Hey, you're a patriot too. Let's rise, okay? All us veterans. God bless you. Now, just the Vietnam veterans remain standing. Just the Vietnam veterans, please remain standing. My gosh. Okay, you notice I'm still standing. I'm one of you. Okay. Thank you, guys and gals. Bless you all. At the end of this program, we're going to have some Q&A, and I'm going to have a couple other microphones out here for you. They'll come to you, and you can ask your question via them to our guest. And after we do that, we're going to have a nice memento for you. So either see me or the guys that have the mementos, and we want to shake your hand and thank you for your service, okay? I'd like to introduce a gentleman down here in the white shirt. He's Tony Beisler. He's from just down the road here at Waukesha, Wisconsin. He's a longtime P-51 owner, maybe the longest time, Tony. Am I right?
Boy, I'm afraid so.
How many years have you owned this bird?
29 years.
Wow. You must be the longest owner of P-51. Where did you get her? And tell us about the process of restoration.
I just saw this plane for sale in 1985 and traded a plane, you know, back when there was no online anything. And actually, my first airplane ride was in the backseat of a P-51 of a doctor out in Iowa where I went to medical school and did a preceptorship with him. And he said, one day, let's go to the airport. And I said, I don't know, never been in an airport before. And what are we going to do there? And he said, we're going to fly my plane. And I said, great, never been in a plane. And he had a P-51, Burns Byram was his name. And flew down, and I thought, man, I got to have one of those one day. It took a few years, but it happened for me. and I've had it 29 years. It's painted in 352nd Fighter Group paint scheme, but I have since discovered that this airplane was actually in World War II in the 15th and the 12th Air Force in the spring of 1945 in Europe in the Mediterranean, and this could be the sole surviving Tuskegee flown airplane that survives. There's only about 15, maybe 20 European combat veterans that survive. All the rest of them were left that exist today were left surplus and stuff. So this was in the 15th and 12th Air Force. One of the groups was the 332nd Fighter Group, which was the Red Tail Tuskegee Airmen. If anybody has any information exactly of the serial numbers that those guys had, if I could find out as the exact World War II paint scheme, I would repaint the airplane. But for now, I'm leaving it the way it was because I like the 352nd Blue Nose. Anyway, it's a great plane for 29 years. It's my honor to pay tribute to all the veterans and their sacrifices over the years. And being a veteran myself, it's nothing's closer to my heart. So that's why we keep doing this.
Thank you, Tony. Sitting next to Tony. Thank you. Sitting next to Tony is our honored guest, Jerry Yellen, who I'm going to talk to at length in a few minutes. But welcome, Jerry. Welcome to Oshkosh and to Warbirds in Review. I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Well, I appreciate being here. I'm just one of 16.2 million Americans who served our country in World War II. And a lot of people walk up to me and thank you for my service, but we were a nation at war. We had Rosie the Warrior, 16.2 Americans, 10% of the population served our country. The women of our country went to work in manufacturing, and the civilians gave up food and had gas rationing. And that is the last, really last time that that has ever happened, that we were the United States of America, World War II.
You got that right. Tony, I want to talk a little bit about the 352nd. That was one of the most prolific fighter groups of the war. I think it was the 56 with Zemke's Wolfpack. I had five of those guys here one year. I escorted around. I had Jerry Johnson, Bob Johnson, Bub Mahurin, Gabby Gabreski, and Zemke himself, Hub Zemke up here. And, you know, herding those guys was like herding cats up here. I had a Hummer vehicle, and, you know, people get out of your way with a Hummer. And that's the only way I could get around. But, you know, they were signing autographs and everything. Between those guys, they probably had about 100 victories during the war. And I couldn't get them away. I said, hey, guys, we got to be at the museum in 5 minutes, and there's millions of people out here. You know, we need to go now. Well, just one more autograph, Dan. And I said, no, we got to go. That's the dedication of all these guys that served in World War II. This just serving today, you know, by being here in his uniform and everything. He's educating the young people I see in the audience. So they're still serving. Excuse me if I get emotional, but I do. The 352nd Fighter Group, the Blue-Nosed Bastards of Botany, they were known. Sometimes just the Blue-Nosers. I met one of those guys down in Lawrenceville, Georgia. His name was Robert Punchy Powell, and he wrote a beautiful tale. It's called Blue-Noser Tales. It's a book. And I don't know if they have it available. I know it's not in the Warbird Merchandise Building because I checked this morning. It may be at the museum. I don't know. But you can get it online. You need to add it to your library because it's a great, great book, Blue Noser Tales. And he tells a story in there about them taking off one day at Osh, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Belgium. And the leader of the group was a guy named John Meyer, and he was a top-scoring ace. And John had a habit of telling his boys, always turn your guns on and your gun heater on. Jerry, you remember that. Because you got to melt the ice out of the barrels if you fly through the clouds, or the guns won't fire. So he would tell his boys, guns, heaters, just as they took the runway. And it's a damn good thing, because they took off this day just as the Germans were strafing their field. and 109 passed over John Meyer's head as his gear was coming up. So he saw the guy just pull the nose up on the Mustang, shot him down right there on the field.